Now, one thing that's on our agenda for today, and you pointed out yesterday, John, is that Tosa starts on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Dibur Maskar Rav Ashi. And it continues, the printing of Tosfos, the bulk of Tosfos, is actually on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. And I got stuck with a line that we tried to work out from Rabbeinu Tam, but it was a little bit out of context. And Rabbeinu Tam,
that's a very important lesson.
Correct.
Take something out of context.
You can't jump in the middle.
That's right.
And that's what I was guilty of doing yesterday.
A small change. 5 to 5. Because one guy's mentioned Dumas has to leave a bit early. Can you make it?
What time?
5 to 5.
5 to 5. I'll try my best.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
So that we have here a quote from Rabbeinu Tam, which again is in the middle of this long Tosus, and we're going to try to figure out if we can make sense out of this Rabbeinu Tam, if we at least backtrack a little. And then see what we can do with this Rabbeinu Tam. Now, the key words here that we want to get to, but we have to backtrack first, is Venirla Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam is going to introduce a concept called Debeinon Shetiskayim Azoma Klapi Kol Echad. And that's what fluked me up yesterday, and I didn't know what it was all about. So in order to appreciate that, what we need to know there are a few points that we need to know. First of all, Rav Ashi addresses the case on Daf Lamed Amud Beis of Zar Shachal Truma Mishalo. So he's a Zar and he's eating his own Truma. At the same time, Kara Shirayim Shal Chavero. So he incurs a Chiv Misa for eating Truma as a Zar. And at the same time, a Chiv Mazik, because he's Karashirayim Shal Chavero. This case of Rav Ashi is a lot different than all the other cases. The other cases were both his Chiv Misa and his Chiv Mam were the same. Here, it just so happens to overlap. There's an overlap between his Chiv Misa and his Chiv Mamon. Oh, Shkut, this is what I need. Because at the same time, this is what I call simultaneity, at the same time that he is eating truma and he's chayev as a zar shachal truma, he's also a mazik and he's destroying his friend's shirayim. Now Rav Ashi says in such a case we apply the principle of kim lebe derabamine. And Rashi points out here on the top of Daf Lamed Aleph that Rav Ashi holds that misal lezev tashlum lezev potur. In other words, he's chayev misal ashamayim because he's a zar shachal truma. He's chayev mazik, you know, to compensate the fellow whose shirayim he ripped. And that's called Misa Lezev Tashlum Lezev. And Rav Ashi takes the position that even in the case of Misa Lezev Tashlum Lezev, so by accident, so to speak, there's a coincidental overlap that at the moment that he incurs the Chiv Misa for Zarus, he has to pay Tashlum because he ripped someone else's Shirayim. Rashi goes on to tell us that statement, that opinion of Rav Ashi, is against the opinion of Rava in the first perek of Sanhedrin, and that's on Daf Yud in Masechta Sanhedrin. I'll just read to you, just one second, let me just get the page open here, sorry. Read to you the Rashi. Rashi says, Usvir lei l'Rav Ashi misal lozev tashlum lozev potter. Okay then? And you'll see the note on the side, Misar Sashas Novehei says, Vi ein Sanhedrin daf yu. Now the case in Sanhedrin daf yu is a case of Ploni Ba Albas Ploni Vehuzmu Neragim Umishalmim. In that case, we suspend the principle of Kibla Yiramine because it's a Maman Lezeh Unefashis Lezeh. So it's Maman Labas because they want to be Mafsid Hod Ksuba, and it's Nefashis Lezeh because they wanted to be Machayev the Boel of the Nevelis Misa for obviously Eishes Ish. So that's the Shita of Rashi. Now, Tosis is not happy, and he says, "Eino nira diichashiv achilas truma v'ukriya shirai mamul zenefash lezeh is tikshile larava disnan b'meniach esakad is hidlikas hagodesh b'shabes pata mishum shenidon b'nafsho." The Tos says there's an exact equation between the case of madlik kedisha shel chaver b'shabes and the case of achal truma v'kar shirai. Because in both cases he's chayav misa, one for violating Shabbos in Madlik, and the other is for achilas truma. And we have now a contradiction because Rav is telling us that in this case of truma, the way Rashi interprets it, he would have to pay for the shirayim, and yet the Mishnah itself is explicit in saying that he doesn't pay for the gadish. El al karchach chashiv misa v'tashlum liyechot. And now Tosis reinterprets it against Rashi that if there's no chiv to another person, then it's called misa lazeh v'tashlum lazeh. When is it called misa lazeh v'tashlum liyacher? That's only if the misa comes as a kind of, we called it beinodav lechavero, and the tashlumin comes to pay for someone else's damages. So basically, in the cases of Madlik Sagodesh and Ochal Truma Vakar Shirayim, we have a case of Misa Umaman Li'echad. Misa Umaman Li'echad. That's Tosus' Shita. The Ri, on the other hand, makes an attempt to defend Rashi by applying a distinction between Maisa Echad and Shnei Maisim. And he says the following, that in the case of Maisa Echad, like for example, Madlik Kedisha Shel Chavero, then we're going to apply the principle of Kimlei B'Derabimine. But in the case of Shnei Maisim, where he, on the one hand he's eating Truma, and on the other hand he is what? He's ripping someone else's clothing. So that's going to be a case of mama lezeh unefashis lezeh. Why? Because it's two different maisim. Now let's go back to the case of Edim Zomimim. So they testify Ploni Baal Bito Shel Ploni, and Rava says that the chayv. According to the Ri, we're going to try to calculate maisim. So now what we have is two maisim. Why is this called two maisim? And therefore Rava says the chayav, because they're two different edios. They testified against her, and at the same time they testified against him, meaning her as the nevelis and against him as the boel. They could have dropped one of the other. They didn't have to testify against both of them. So there's an additional testimony against the boel, and that's called a separate maisa edus, and that's why Rava holds that yechayev. Well, that's true, but they don't have to identify the boel. The boel could be a faceless, anonymous person, but here they identify the boel, and in addition to being mafsid hodik suba, they testified in a capital case against the boel
separately,
and that becomes a separate edus.
Yeah.
Now the Rashba is not happy with the Ri because of Rav Yosef. Now, what's the case of Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef's case is also Edim Zov, but it's a little bit more complicated because there's Edim, then there's Mazimim, and then there's Zomime Zomimim, the three sets of Edims in Rav Yosef's case. The first and the third set of Edus.
Which one, the first and third again?
Well, we'll go through it in just a second. I just want to, just in abstract terms, the first and the third are brought by the Baal against his wife to accuse her of znus, and the middle testimony is brought by the Av, who's defending his daughter. So let's go through the three Edios. The Baal first, this is Hakofa Aleph, brings Edim to testify that his wife had znus beratzon. What that means is two things. Number one, she gets killed, and number two, she loses her ksuba. The father brings Edim to be mazim, the witnesses of the Baal, imanu ayisem, and as a result, at this particular point, if we would stop right now, then the Edei Ha'av, who are being mazim, the Edei Ha'Baal, on two counts, on Mamon and Misa, right, because the Edei Ha'Baal testified not only that she loses her ksuba, but also that she has to be put to death. So therefore, these Edei Ha'Baal, who at this point turned out to be Zeidim Zomim, they will be killed because they wanted to kill the Niveles. And number two, they should have to pay Mamon. Unless we apply the principle of Kim Levi Ramine, which means they don't have to pay Mamon. I'm just introducing you to Rabbeinu Tam, because this is the Rashba. Rabbeinu Tam is going to disagree with this very assumption of the Rashba. Okay, so the Baal now, this is Hakofa Gimel, yeah. He brings Edim to be Mazim, the Edei Ha'av.
To be Mazim, the Mezimim.
Correct. And now, Rav Yosef says that the Edei Ha'av, that middle set of Edus, Neragim u'meshalmim mamon. We don't apply the principle of Kimle d'Rabmine, but Neragim u'meshalmim. Why is that so? Says the Rashba, Pirush, why they chayev mamon to the Baal? Because Ratzulaf Sido Ksuba. They wanted him to pay the Ksuba. Right? Because what is his argument, the Baal's argument to get away, to wiggle out of the Ksuba, is because she was Mizana. But now, the Edom that he brought to the Baal brought our subject to Azama as a result of the Edei Ha'av. The Edei Ha'av of the Mazimin. So first and foremost, the Edei Ha'av want him to pay the ksuba. So that's a hefsed mamon. Unefashas le'edim, and now the Edim zomimim. I'm sorry. And now, what are we talking about again? I just want to make sure. Chazar Av. Right, and now the Edei Ha'av, who became Edim zomimim, so that in addition to their interest in being mafsid the Baal, the ksuba, they also wanted to put to death the Edei Ha'Baal.
Oh, wait a minute.
No good?
I don't understand something. We said that number two, when the father brings Edim Lahazim, number one, that...
The Edei Ha'Baal.
Yeah, the Edei Ha'Baal, right? Then they are Neragim U'Meshalmim. Now, I don't understand.
No, Neragim U'Meshalmim. Then we applied Kim Lev D'Rab Mine.
Oh,
By the Ein Mishalmim.
Okay, the Ein Mishalmim. Okay, that's okay. The number two set.
That's the number two set.
Right.
Well, in other words, that's a result of the number two set. Means what we're saying is Nerogim I'm sorry, Nerogim the Ein Mishalmim. That refers to the first set, the Edei Ha'Baal who became Zomimim. Okay, we didn't introduce the third set yet. So if you freeze the frame of the second pair of Edim, meaning the Edei Ha'Av, who are being mazim the Edei Ha'Baal, then at this point the Edei Ha'Baal are Nerogim, because they tried to kill, but they don't have to pay mum. Even though the Edei Ha'Baal were mafsid hodik suba, they don't have to pay for that. That's under the principle of Kim Leib Durami. Now we're ready to introduce the third pair of Edim. That's the Edei Habal, who are Mazim, the Edei Av. What do we do with the Edei Av? Says Rabbi Yosef, in this case, Ne'erogim u'mishalmim mamon. We're going to suspend the principle of Kimlev D'Ramini. Why? So that's because of the principle called Mamon L'Zeh, U'nefashas L'Zeh. Let's go through it. Mamon L'Zeh means that the Edei Av wanted to force the Baal to pay for the Ksuba. And if fashiously edim, this means that the Edei Av wanted to give Misa to the Edei Baal, because again the Edei Baal testified that she should be killed, so that was their Zmama, and now the Edei Av are guilty of trying to put the Edei Baal to death. So when there's Azam against the Edei Av, then the Edei Av will be put to death because of Nefashos Le'edim. So they're accusing, in other words, the Edei Av are accusing two different people. If I can use the phrase, they're two victims, if you will, or subjects who are getting smashed by the Edei Av. Number one, it's the Baal, because he's going to have to pay out of pocket 200 zuz for the ksuba. Number two, it's the Edei Baal who will now be put to death as a result of the Azam of the Edei Av. Is that crystal clear that the Edei Av are trying to put the Edei Baal to death? That's clear. The Edei Av, it's the second set, are trying to put the first set of Edim to death.
Yeah.
Now the Edei Av have to be put to death under the law of Kasher Zoma. But let's talk about another dimension of what the Edei Av are trying to do. Forget about what they tried to do the first pair of Edim. Let's talk about what they tried to do to the Baal. They tried to be mafsin in the Ksuba. He's going to have to dig into his bank account and pay 200 zuz. So therefore the Edei Av owe it to the Baal to pay the Baal his ksuba. They owe it to the Edei Ha'av to be put to death because they wanted to put the Edei Baal to death. And at this point, Tosa says the following: Hasam al hazoma achas bolehem akol. What are the Edei Av guilty of? All these punishments, you know, the double punishment of Kefsek Suba and Nefashos, is all a result of one single Hazama. Meaning, they testified, Imanu Ayisem. That's all they said. Two words came out of their mouths, so to speak. They looked at the Edei Baal, you know, straight in the eyes, and they said to him, Imanu Ayisem, you were with us at that time in a different place. So that you see, and this is the radical departure from what we've been saying until now, when the Re wanted to defend Rashi, he wanted to differentiate between Achilles, Truma, Kriya, Shiraim on the one hand, and Adlokas, Agodish on the other hand. And he said, Adlokas, Agodish is one Maisa, and therefore we're going to apply Kimlei Rabine. But Rashi Shita is that according to Rava, as opposed to Rav Ashi, we're not going to apply Kimlei D'Ramine in the case of Achilas Truma and Kriya Shiraim, because there are two Maisen. But here, we're talking about suspending Kimlei D'Ramine, and even though there's only one Mais Avera, there was only one testimony in which he said Imanu Ayisem. There were two results of that testimony, repercussions, and it becomes Mamon L'Zeh U'Misa L'Zeh. But don't tell me, don't talk to me about Shnei Maisen. And basically what the Rashba is doing, and this is a major departure, is instead of Shnei Maisen, he's calling it Shnei Mischaivim. Mischaivim means there are two generators of the various respective Chiyuvim. So what generates the Chiyuv of Mamon is the Baal, and what generates the Chiyuv of Misa are the Edei Baal that they tried to kill. So it really doesn't depend upon how many Maisim, it really depends upon how many Mischaivim. And in the case of Truma and Shiraim, there are two Mischaivim. And that's why Rashi says it's Mamon L'Zeh, Nefashos L'Zeh, and you would be chayev because we don't apply the principle of kimay d'rabine. And in the case of azoma, there are two mischayevim. There's one the ksuba for the baal, and number two misa for the eidim. Now here's where Rabbeinu Tam enters front stage. Rabbeinu Tam is not willing to expand this definition of misa lazeh umamin lazeh to include two different mischayevim, and therefore to apply that to the case of Edom Zomimim and say that this is like two mice and therefore there is no Kimli Rabine and the Ede Ahav will pay in addition to getting Misa.
So he
doesn't buy into that.
Does not go for Misa Lezeb and Mammon Lezeb.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is he's going to try to explain Edom Zomimim in a different way. He's not willing to explain Edom Zomimim the way the Rashba explained Edom Zomimim. Let's go over this. The Rashba says the reason why we suspend Kim Lev the Ramine and apply the principle of Misal Ezeh Mamel Lezeh in the case of Edom Zomimim is because there was one Azoma. That's called Azoma Achas, Bolehem. Mm-hmm. And that's called... And that means that even though it's one maisa, but nevertheless it's two mischayvim or two mechayvim, if you want to call it that. There's the Baal and the Eden. Now let's go back to the case of Gaddish. In the case of Gaddish, how many mechayvim do we have? One or two? The man lit up his friend's haystack on Shabbos. Is that one mechayv or two mechayvim? I don't know why you're hesitating. The answer is clear cut. They're two different mechayvim.
Yeah.
There's one mechayv of Shabbos and one mechayv of Mama. And yet the Mishnah says Kim Lev the Rabbi and he's a mechayv in Afshin. He's part of a tashluvin. You can see now why Rabbeinu Tam is very. I'm understating it. He's very inhibited to accept the Rashbah. The Rashbah is saying that whenever the two mechayvim, then Rava is going to maintain misal lezeh, mama lezeh, and you're going to be chayv for the moment, and you don't apply the principle of kimle the ramine. So why do we apply the principle of kimle the ramine in the case of Adlas HaGadosh? There is two mechayvim, Shabbos and Mazik. So now we're ready for Rabbeinu Tam. So again, Rabbeinu Tam's challenge here is to come up with some explanation as to why, in the case of Rav Yosef in Sanhedrin, the Edei Av will get a double punishment of Mamon and Misa. We're going to suspend the principle of Kimlei Ramini. Don't tell me because even though it's Hazom Achitz it's Shnei Meschayvim, because then we're going to be in trouble with Madlik Kedisha Shel Chavera. So we have to come up now with a new modus vivendi to explain the case of Rav Yosef of Huzmu Edea Baal Huzmu Edea Av Zokra Ben Itam Venira Ben Itam Derava. Rava means Rava and Rav Yosef. They're going to hold that Mamon Lezeh Nefash Lezeh Potter. They're basically going to hold like Rav Ashi. Remember Rav Ashi says that a Ochel Zar Shochel Truma Trumas Atzmo, Bekarshi Rabbi Shal Chavero, is Potter. Correct? He's Potter. And we do apply Kim Lev the Rabbinay. That means that even though it's Mamon Lezeh and Nefash Lezeh, we still apply Kim Lev the Rabbinay. And that's agreed upon by both Rav and Rav Yosef as well. Now we get to the case of Gaddish. And we have a problem here because Rav Yosef said that we do not apply Kim Lev Rabine in the case of Edom Zomimim vis-a-vis the Edei Av. And we suspend or negate Kim Lev Rabine and instead the Edei Av will get both the electric chair and they'll have to pay the moment. Now why is that so? I mean, we just finished saying that Rava accepts the Shita Ravashi, that even in Mamon Lezeh and Nefash Lezeh, Potter, you do apply Kim Lev the Ramine. So why is Rabbi Yosef Mechayev them, meaning the Aviyav, to pay for the Ksuba? Says Rabbeinu Tam, the Dafka Gabi Edim Zomimim. There's a separate halacha in Edim Zomimim that Rabbi Yosef is introducing. And we're going to say now that Islay Mamel Lezerefash Lezechayev, even though in general we say Mamel Lezerefash Lezepotu, but in Edim Zomimim we have an exception. And why is that? Mishum de Be'inot Shetiskayim Hazoma. Klapi kol echa. This is the phrase that I didn't understand yesterday, but now I have it in context. I begin to understand it. We have a din of kasha zama. The Torah says li achiv. Who's li achiv in the case of the Eidia'av? Right? The Torah says vasisam lo kasha zomam lasos li achiv. Who is the achiv here in the case of the Eidia'av? Rav Yosef's case in Sanhedrin Daf Yud.
It's
the Baal and it's the Edea Baal. They're two different personalities here. Basically, the Hazama here, the Zamama, we'll call it, the Zmama, was directed against two targets, you know, two victims.
Right.
Who was subject to the rage and the fury of these Edim of the Av. The Edim Av are testifying against the Edim Baal, who tried to put these people to death. And that's Misa. That's the Kasha Zomim vis-a-vis the Edim Baal. Now there's another Kasha Zomim vis-a-vis the Baal himself, because he will have to now pay the Ksuba. So what do we do with the Pasuk Vasisim Lo Kasha Zomim? Can we take a half-baked measure and say, well, you know what, we're going to give the Edim Zomim Misa because of what they wanted to mete out to the Edim Baal, but we're going to exempt them from Mammon and this Mama towards the Baal himself is the Ksuba because Kim Levi the Rav Amine. No, we have no right to do so. Because the principle is Be'inon Shetiskayim Azoma Klapi Kol Echad. When the Torah says Kasher Zomam Lasos Li Achiv, we have to look at who the Achiv is. Let's say, for example, in one scenario, he in one fell swoop, he testifies on both the Boel and the Nevelis. So that's considered V'asisim Lo Kasher Zomam Klapi Kol Echad V'Echad. But in that case, he can't put him to death twice. But let's say he testifies against the Mivelis as a Chiv Ksuba and against the Boel as a Chiv Misa, and vis-a-vis these two victims, so to speak, there are two Zmamos, and we have to fulfill this Zmama Lagabi both of them. Now again, Rabbi Natam is not saying that there are two different Edios here. There's only one Edus. What the Edia Av are testifying is just none other than two words, Imanu Ayisem. But the Imanu Ayisem has to be understood in terms of two attacks. There's one attack against the Baal to say that he has to pay the Ksuba, and another attack against the Edia Baal, and they have to be put to death. So you have one entity of Edus, but the Torah says, Kasher Zomam Lasos Liachiv, meaning Kol Echa V'Echa, whoever the Achiv is. So there's the Baal with regard to Ksuba, and there's the Edia Baal with regard to Misa. Now what happens if you were to choose one of these two? You had a choice between Misa and Mama. Let's say we're going to say that the Edia Av should be put to death because the Kasher Zomim, they wanted to put to death the Edia Av, the Edia Baal. And then we're going to drop the ball on the Mammon case. No lawsuit for Mammon. Why? Because it came later out in it. Well, if you can apply that principle, then you have not fulfilled what the Torah says explicitly, called the Asisim Lo Kasher Zomim Lasos Liachiv. And if that be the case, then there's no kiyum of the punishment of Kasher Zomim. Then I have news for you: the original Edus is not valid. We never questioned the validity of the Edus of the Baal, of the Edia Baal. I mean, ultimately they became Edim Zomim, but in and of itself, the only reason they could become Edim Zomim is because they gave a valid testimony. Meaning, in and of itself, if not for Zomim, it would be a valid testimony. Well, in order for that testimony to be valid, Al Pi Din, it has to be subject to Zomim. Meaning, you have to have a full-fledged kiyum to implement the Torah's V'yasi Yisrael Kasha Sovel. You can't do that in this case because you can apply Kimle to the Rabbim in it. Do you follow? There's a head-on collision here between two principles. One principle is Vasisim Lo Kasha Sovel, and the other principle is Ason Yeh Anosh Yonish, meaning Kimle to the Rabbim in it. So what we're going to say here is, in order to salvage the validity of the Edim and the Edia Av, such that now we can subject the Edia Av to Azama, we're going to have to apply the principle of Lasos Liachid, She Din Azama is Tiskayim B'Kol Echad V'Echad. Because if you're not Mekayim the Din Azama B'Kol Echad V'Echad, then it's not Azama. And it's Edu Shiyat Yochol Azima.
In which case, it would then turn into Edu Shiyat Yochol Azima. And then you couldn't accept it in the first place.
Now, if the Edia Av becomes Edu Shiyat Yochol Azima, then the Melee Edia Baal become Edu Shiyat Yochol Azima. It's a domino theory.
Dominoes.
And basically what it means is you can never put anyone to death. Because what are you going to tell me? We have Edim? Well, if there's any element of mammon in the Edus, like in this case of a married woman, so you're going to testify against a married woman. Well, as soon as you testify against the married woman in an extramarital relationship, then you automatically have Edus Shiyat Yochol Azima. Why? Because if you apply the principle of Kimlei V'Rabi Minei, then the thrust of the Edus is against both the Baal or the Isha, again, depending on which level we're up to, in the first Hakafa, second Hakafa, as far as Mammon is concerned, and against the Boel, as far as Misa is concerned. And now you're going to tell me, Kimlev the Rabine, when we take these Edim and they become Zomim, we can't apply the principle of Kasha Zomam and give them both Misa and Mammon. If that be the case, the Edus becomes Edus Shiyat Yochol Azima. In a word, there's no way, says Rav Eitan, there's no way that you could be Mekayim any sort of Edus and validate it against an Isha who's married and has a Ksuba pending on a Mises Nus. Because the very moment you do that, you're involved in an Edus Shiyat Yochol Azima, unless we say that this is going to be the exception to the rule. Here we're going to apply the principle of Misa Lezeh U'mama Lezeh, and we're going to suspend the operation of Kimlev the Rabbi. He's going to be chayav both Mammon and Misa at the same time. But not because of the Rashba's reasoning, namely that there are two mechayvim, because that's not going to help me in the case of Madli Kedisha Shal Chaver B'Shabbos, there are two mechayvim, and yet we apply Kimlev the Rabbi, but only because of the special unique halacha of Yasisim Lo Kashuzom Lassus Liachim. Once again, it's not because of some sort of universal principle that these are two machayvim, and then we're going to apply the principle of Misa Lezeh, Mama Lezeh Patur, but rather because in Edim Zomimim, I'm sorry, what I meant to say, let me just repeat the last sentence, because I think I may have, it's not because, as the Rashba would have it, because since there are two machayvim, therefore it's going to be Misa Lezeh, Mama Lezeh, and he's going to have to pay the Mama. No, that's not the reason, because that logic would apply to Gadish Shel Chaver as well. The reason why he's Chayav is because of the Pasuk Vasisim Lo Kasha Zomam, which tells me that unless you can fulfill Kasha Zomam, Kapi Kol Echad V'Echad, if his victim was not just Reuven, it was also Leah, or it's not just Reuven, but it's also Shimon and Levi, then unless you do due diligence and you give the Edom the same punishment that they wanted to mete out to both these individuals, to both Reuven and Shimon Levi, if you can't do that, that's not Kasher Zoma. There's no such thing as a half-baked Kasher Zoma. It's an all or nothing enterprise. Is therefore we're going to have to be Mechayev the Edia Av to pay Mammon to the Baal. Why? Because they tried to be mafsid him the Ksuba by virtue of their Hazom against the Edia Av.
Now this principle
is
going to be accepted by everyone, or is this a basic principle that the Rabbi
let's think about it. What we're saying is that this is a unique case in Edim Zomimim, and that's why we're going to suspend the principle of Kimlev the Rabbi Minei. Now let's go back to the case of Madlik Yedisha Shalkanvero, that's not going to be similar to Tatum Zomim. There's no principle Kalachit is kind Hazom b'kol echad v'yechad, and therefore we're going to apply the principle of Kim Lev L'Rabmi. Now, if you're asking me, would everybody agree to that?
Right.
Well, let's just think about that. We have Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi says, Enochinami in Ochel Trumas Atzmo, V'kar Shirayim Shel Chavero, despite the fact that it's Misal Lezeh, Vomel Lezeh, we're going to apply the principle of Kim Lev L'Rabmi, and he's Potter. So it seems to me that according to Rabbi Tam, we have a complete consensus here, to answer your question, John. Meaning, everybody's on board. The misal is there, umamal is there, to suspend kashazomim is to suspend Kim Lev Rabbini is a unique case of Einim Zomim. Einim Zomim Shining. Now the only thing I want to double check just for one second in the light of your question is I want to go back to Rava for a second. Now Rava said Ploni ba albas Ploni vahuzmu nerogim umishalmim mama. Why? Because it's mama mishalmim. Because it's mama lezeh nefash lezeh. Want to be mafsid the bas the ksuva, and they wanted to be mechay of the boel for misa. Let's just think about that. So, does Rava fit into this picture? Let's just go over it. We're talking about Edim Zomim. Am I correct? So Ploni Baal Bas Ploni Vehuzmu. Yes, we're talking about Edim Zomim. So if we were to apply the principle of Kasha Zomam, then it becomes Edim Shiat Yochel Azima, because we have to fulfill the Kasha Zomam Kapi Kol Echa V'Echa. So we have the Bas, and she suffered the loss of her Ksuba as a result of the first pair of Edim, and we have the Boel who would be Chayav Misa as a result of the Eidah Baal. So Rav is right in assuming that in this case, when the Eidah Baal become Eidim Zomim, then Nerogim and Meshalmim, because otherwise we won't be able to be Mekayim Kasha Zomim Klapi Kol Echad V'Yah. Okay, so I think we're all, there's a consensus here according to Rava of everyone. Now let's open up to Tuf Lamed Vav, and in the light of the complexity of Rabbeinu Tam, you'll see why I got so famished yesterday when I tried to read the paragraph Ehine, which is on your left column, and just tell me if you have it so I can start rolling.
Ehine Le'el?
Right. Ehine Le'el Lamed Beis Lamed Beis. We have it? Okay, great. Tof Lamed Vav. On the left column, he says, Shaka Vitaria, Minayin, Minolon, Diedim Zom Mishalman Venom Lokim, Dilma Lokim Venom Mishalman. Let's try to understand what he's talking about. And we'll open up to the Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis Lamed Beis. We have a principle called Kidei Rishasa. So in the case of Malkus and Mammon, we have to decide what exactly we should do. We can only mete out one punishment. So what should we choose? Should we choose Malkus or should we choose Mammon? And the answer is going to be, obviously, we're going to give the more severe of the two. And then we're going to have a whole debate to try to figure out which is more severe. So let's take a look for a moment on Daf Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, if we can open up. I'm looking for the place here. Just bear with me for a second. Lamed Beis, Amid Beis. So the Gemara Daf Lamed Beis, Amid Beis presents a machlokes between Ula and Rav Yochanan. Ula is going to say that Yochayv Mamon, and Rav Yochanan is going to say that Yochayv Malchus. Well, Ula starts on Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis, Lamed Aleph, but goes on to the top of Daf, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. And Ula says, in this flip, in this flip a coin between Mammon and Malchus, you give Mammon and you alleviate Malchus. And that you'll see if you want to underline on the third line on the page. And that's called Mammon Mishali Milkalo Lok. And Rabbi Yochanan says just the opposite. That Kol Heicha, this is about line 8 or so, line 10, Kol Heicha the Ika Mammon Umalkus is Milka Lucky Mammon Lo Mishalim. So Rabbi Yochanan prefers Malkus and Ula prefers Mammon in this overlap. And there's going to be a long sugya here about which is more Chomer, Mammon or Malkus. But now we have the case of Edim Zomimim. So in the case of Edim Zomimim, let's say two Edim testify that Reuven owes Shimon 200 zuz. The Edim have to pay the 200 zuz. And that's very good according to Ula, but that's against Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan says that we should give Malkus for Losan Be'achet Shaker. And that would suspend the payment of 200 zuz. That works out beautifully according to whom? According to Ula. The Edom will pay and they will not get Malchus. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, what do we do? Because Rabbi Yochanan holds that in an overlap of Malchus and Mammon, you give him the Malchus and he doesn't pay the Mammon. The opposite is true here, where the Edim are going to pay the Mammon and they're going to be part from Malchus. Why not say the other thing? Let's activate the principle of Rabbi Yochanan of Milka Lucky and Mammon Lo Mishalman. So the Gemara answers, Kidomar Aviloi. The famous Ripsa Torah Edim Zomel Tashlumin. Hachinami, the famous Ripsa Torah Chovil Bechaveril Tashlumin. One second. So again, Rabosai, the whole thrust of this sugya, just to review for your knowledge, is what do we do in an overlap of Misa and Malchus? The Torah says, "Kedei Risha Mishum Risha Achas." Which Risha should we punish him for? Should we, hit him with a Chiv Mammon, or should we give him 39 Malchus? And the Gemara says that Ula has his source for Mammon as opposed to Malchus, and Rabbi Yochanan has his source for Malchus as opposed to Mammon.
But Rabbi Yochanan's the only one that deals with the issue of Hasarah.
So according to Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of Onis and Mafata, where there's a Knas, if he was Boel a Mamzeris, for example, Rabbi Yochanan is going to have to ask himself, well, what do we do over here? Where the Torah says, Kidei Rishoso, he should get Malchus for Boel Achoso, he should be Chayef Knas because of Onis and Mafata. So we look to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that if he has relations with his relatives, like for example Achosa with his own sister, then he pays the knas, and that lechora undermines the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says when you have an overlap of Mammon and Malchus, you choose Malchus and you mete out the punishment of Malkus and you suspend the punishment of Mammon. Whose sheet is that? Rabbi Yochanan, correct?
No.
Oh, so what's Rabbi Yochanan going to do in the case of Edom Zomimim, where the Torah says that the Edom Zomimim, who testified against Reuven that he owes Shimon, will have to pay the knas, or the monies of Kasha Zoma, but they do not have to, they do not get Malkus. And that's against Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara answers, Beferish Rips the Torah, Edom Zomim L'Tashlum, which you'll see on line 6.
Malkus in Edom Zomim is not a part of Kasher Zomim. That's a punishment. The Kasher Zomim is not a punishment. The Kasher Zomim is just a chidush of the Torah that whatever you're going to do to them is going to be done to you.
Okay. I agree with you 100%, and that's actually going to be the logic of Rabbi Meir to say that in this case, the Edom should both pay and they should get Malkus, paying for the Kasher Zomim.
Sure.
Right, that they wanted to do to the Nidon, and Malkus for a violation of a Lav Dorais of Losana, assuming there was Hasra. That's Rabbi Meir's sheet. The Chachamim say no. The rule is either loka mishalim or mishalim veda loka. There's no overlap of both chiyuvim. So again, if you have an overlap of both chiyuvim and you're saying that we could only give one punishment, kidei rishasa, so which one of the two are you gonna implement? So Rabbi Yochanan says give Malkus. And he's part of her mama. So the Gemara asks, what's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with the case of Edom Zomim, who testified against Reuven that he owes Shimon 1,000? And the answer is, Beferish Rips the Torah, Edom Zomim L'Tashlum.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be.
Otherwise, the law would be that the Malkus knocks off the Mama. Okay. So that's what we have now. Let's take a look here in this paragraph that we started. Vihine Liel Shakla Vitaria Minolan Diadim Zomimim Mishalimim Venalokim Dilma Lokim Venim Mishalim. In other words, if not for Rabbi Lois, Beferish Rips the Torah Adim Zomimim Lim Mamon, we would have at least raised the logical possibility that the Adim should get Malkus for violating Losana. And since we cannot mete out two punishments, they'll be alleviated from the punishment of Mama under the law of Kasha Zoma. And the answer is Beferish Rips the Torah Edom Zomim L'Mama L'Tashlumim. But the Gemara in the Havnina thought that maybe we should give him Malkus.
It doesn't make any sense. How can that be? Because you're not doing Kasher Zomim. The Malkus is not connected to Kasher Zomim. What's the Havamina?
I don't know. Just one second. Just think this out for a split second. Okay, I'm going to talk to myself a little bit. I'm not totally insane, but I talk from time to time. I talk to myself. So in other words, Tosus just said in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that in the case of Edom Zomim, we suspend the principle of Kimle to the Rav Amine. Why? Because the Torah says Vasisim Lo Kasher Zomim. So therefore, in the case where there's an overlap of Malkus and Mammon in Edom Zomim, why not apply the principle of Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore, because of Kasher Zomim, we're going to have to be Mekayim Da Zoma. Just 1 second. I should say, you know, you're looking at Shalom. As long as see, I think Yosef I'm going to try to formulate your question in my words, and you'll tell me if that's what you had in mind. We have a contradiction, a conflict between two principles. We have the principle of Kedei Rishasa, which says you can only mete out one punishment. And then we have the principle of Kasha Zoma. Now, we got to reconcile this. We have to somehow iron it out. In the case of Losana Briachet Shaker, for which he deserves Malkus, the Eidim deserve Malkus, we are straitjacketed in the sense that the Kasha Zolam tells me that he has to pay the 200 zuz. And I don't know what to do in this case, because if I turn to the right, I'm in trouble. I turn to the left, I'm in trouble. If I'm going to say, well, I have to impose upon a chiyuv mamon, then what am I going to do with lo sana b'yachid shaker, which generates a chiyuv malchus, and the Torah says kidei rishasa? If on the other hand I'm going to say, well, the Torah says I have to give him malchus because he violated lo sana, then I can't impose a chiyuv mamon because of kidei rishasa. But the Torah says v'asisimo kashuzom lasus liyachid.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that your question?
Sure. But Kedei Rishasa, it's all in one Meiser.
I don't know if that makes any difference. I as far as I can tell, the Kedei Rishasa tells me that I can't impose two punishments at the same time. So I have to choose one over the other. So for example, Rabbi Yochanan would say, in Ba, you know, Ma'anis es Naira Besula Mamzeres. So what's he going to say? Well, it depends. If he got Asra for Mamzeres, then we're going to impose the punishment of Malkus, and there won't be any Knas. If on the other hand, it was in the absence of Hasra, we don't have a Chiyuv Malkus, and therefore he's going to pay the Knas. And that's how Rabbi Yochanan, if you recall, reconcile the two Mishnais. The Mishnah here in Ksuba says that he pays the Knas. The Mishnah in Makkah says he gets Malkus. The answer is, was the Asra or was the not Asra? Correct? So that's the basic mechanics of Rabbi Yochanan of Kedei Rishasa. And in Malkus and Mamon, we're going to choose the Malkus and forego the Mamon. Why? Because Malkus is the more severe of the two punishments. And the Torah says, Kedei Rishasa, we can't impose two punishments. Now, let's see how this impacts on Eidim Zomimim. In the case of Eidim Zomimim, you're going to have to decide which of the two punishments we should mete out. Let's assume there was Asra to the Eidim, or in the case maybe of Losana, we don't even need Asra. And we're going to have to mete out Malkus, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara naively asks, well, if there's a violation in the case of Eidim Zomim, both a Chiyuv Malkus and a Chiyuv Mamon, which one of the two should we implement? Because it's either Loka Meshalim or Meshalim Veda Loka. You can't get both because Torah says Kedei Rishasa.
If we could leave Malkus on the side for a moment and imagine a case of Eidim Zomim where there are multiple implications of the Eidus. So once they gave this Eidus, then this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. Maybe even to three different sources of people or whatever.
Right. I call them.
Then you're going to have to do one, two, three. Oh,
how do you know that?
So.
How do you know that? You're standing on the shoulders of whom? A very good friend of ours. Rabbi Natam. Okay. Why? Because Rabbi Natam says that in the case of Eidei Av, in Rabbi Yosef's frame of reference, yes, on Hedrin Yud, we have two victims.
Right.
The Eidei Av tried to be mafsid the Baal Ksuba, they tried to be mafsid and be machayb misa to the Eidei Baal. Now the Eidei Av becomes Zomimim, then we're not going to apply the principle of Kimlein around. He says Rabbi Natam, why? Because Kasha Zomim has to be fulfilled, kapi kol echad v'yechad. Says Tosfos, again, we're not quoting Tosfos here, but I think it's the, I just want to get the names for a second, it's the Reb Chaim apparently, in footnote number nun. Anyway, says the following. Gemara naively asks Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of Edim Zomim, what do we do with Kedei Rishasa? Should we beat out Malkus for Losano? Should we beat out Mamon for Kasha Zoma? Which one of the two? And ostensibly the Gemara thinks we have to push the agenda towards Malkus, which is more common than Mamon. And yet, what are we going to do with Kasha Zoma? So the Gemara answers in the name of Rabbi Loi, but Feir Shripsa Torah Edim Zomimim Limon. And in this case, we're going to suspend the Chiyuv Malkus. But let's go back to the Havamim of the Gemara. In the Havamim of the Gemara thought that maybe we should give him Malkus and not make him pay. Why? Because Kedei Rishasa is going to push off. He's going to push off and knock off the Chiyuv Malkus. So Reb Chaim asks, what are you going to do with Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam says that we suspend Kimlet Rabine in the case of Edim Zomim because Be'inon Shittiskayim HaZomim. In the case of Rabbeinu Tam, where he's addressing Rav Yosef in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Yud, where there was a HaZomim against the Edi Av, says Rabbeinu Tam, the pasuk of Kasha Zomam, I'm sorry, the pasuk of Kasha Zomam, Yasisim Lo Kasha Zomam, is so overriding and so powerful that we're going to suspend the principle of Kimlev and Ramine. We're going to actually meet out Misa and Momon at the same time. So if I wake you up in the middle of the night with a quiz question, I say, when in the orbits of Shas could you be Mechayev someone both Misa and Mamon at the same time? The answer is going to be in Edim Zomim in the case of Be'inon Shittiskayim Edusa B'cholecha V'echa. That's what made the time. If that be the case, what we end up with is that in a collision between two principles. One principle is Kimlev Rabine, and the other principle is Vasisimo Kasha Zomam. We have to give due diligence to Kasha Zomam, even if it means undermining the principle of Kimlev Rabine. That's what it comes out for Rabbeinu Tam. If that be the case, what did the Gemara attack Rabbi Yochanan with the following question? In the case of Edim Zomamim, should we give a Malkus? And the Malkus is going to knock off the Mammon. Why is he going to knock off the Mammon? Because Kedesh Rishasa. No. But we just finished saying that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Kasha Zomam overrides or trumps, if you will, the principle of Kimlev Ramine. And here we have to be Miskayim B'Shal. Let's read it inside and see if we're on the right track. Again, it's enormously complicated. I think it was, I'm not sure if it was in our discussion with Herb yesterday, but I got schlepped into this paragraph. And I was totally flabbergasted. There are so many variables here in the equation. Let's read it inside.
This is the Hinei Le'el?
Yes. Shakla V'Tario, the Gemara goes back and forth. Minolam, until we finally quote Rav Eloi, that's called the Feir Shripsa Torah. Minolam Di'edim Zomim V'Mishalmim V'Edo Lokim. Right, this is the Shita of the Chachomim in Makas on Daftali against Rabbi Meir. Then in the case of Edim Zomim, they pay and they're potter from Malkus. Why? Because we have a principle of Kedei Rishasa, which means that Eino Lokim Mishalim. He can't get both Malkus and Momo. And the Gemara raises the possibility, Dilma, we should analyze seriously take into consideration the possibility of saying the opposite. Instead of the Edim Zom paying and being exempt from Malkus, we should say, Pukfaker, the Edim should get Malkus and they don't have to pay it. Now, how could that be? What about the Kasha Zomim? Because of the Pshita de Mishalim. I'll tell you why it's Pshita. Why does it need a pasuk to prove this? Why? Because based on Tosfos with Rabbeinu Tam, to bechol makom Mamon lezer nefashos zepot to mitashlum. Right, Rabbeinu Tam committed Rabbi Yosef to accept the position of Rav Ashi. Namely, that we do apply Kimlev Rabine in Momon Lezer and Nefashos Lezer, even if it was a Momon that I owe to the Baal HaShirayim and Nefashos that I owe because I'm a Zar Shachal Trumo or I'm a Madlikas Gedisha Shachaver, we still apply the principle of Kimlev Rabine and you don't pay the Momon. But Rabbi Natan wants to know, how do you square that with Rabbi Yosef in Sanhedrin, who says that the Eidei Av will get both Misa and Mamon at the same time? What happened to the principle of Kim Levi the Rami? He's up to Rabbi Natan. This is a special look at Hazama. That Chayovim Gam L'Shalem, they, in addition to being put to death, the Zomim have to pay the Mamon. And why is that? So what it means is basically you have a collision here between two principles. On the one hand, Kim Levi the Rabbinine, and Rabbi Yosef accepted Kim Levi the Rabbinine even in the case of Mamon L'Zel and Foshas L'Zel. On the other hand, you have a principle of Kasha Zoma. And which wins out in the battlefield? Kasha Zoma. Be'inon shetiskayim ha-zoma kapi kol echad. Shfek Reb Chaim im ken gam b'chiv malchus u'mamon b'yedim zomim neim ha-hachi di'yam et alok v'yedim shavlon iskayim ha-zoma shor echiv malchus u'milosana v'lomi kasha zoma. Right, the Chiyuv Malchus coming from Losan is going to now knock off the Kasha Zomon. As far as the Chiyuv Mamon is concerned, we can't give both Malchus and Mamon. But why are you saying so? I mean, Rabbi Natan says that the Eidon Shetiskayim HaZomon Klapi Kol Echad, and therefore we're going to suspend the principle of Eino Adam Chayiv Miso Misham. And we're going to say that even though he's Chayiv Tashlumin Lazer, but he's Chayiv Miso Lazer. And that's called Kasha Zoma. Aye, what happened to Kimle? Forget about Kimle. Well, this is the exception to Kimle because the Torah says Vasisim lo Kasha Zoma. So if in this confrontation between Kimle and Kasha Zoma we give adifut to Kasha Zoma, then here the Gemara's Halamina and the Gemara's looking for a possible which it actually finds to justify that in Eidim Zomim, the Allah will be Mishalman V'yena Lokim, because why not say the exact opposite, Lokim V'yena Mishalman, so we need a Pasuk to prove that Mishalman V'yena Lokim. What's going on here? I'll tell you why it cannot be that we give Malchus. If we would give Malchus, you would knock off the Tashlumei Mama. But you can't do that because Be'ina Shetiskayim HaZomah. The Eidim Zomim are chayiv to pay because of Kasha Zoma. They tried to be mafsid on the ksuba, and therefore they have to pay for the ksuba. Or in the case of Me'idim on a beach ploni, Shukhayv l'chaver masayim zuz, the Eidim have to pay the masayim zuz. We want to give him Malchus Flosana. Okay, give him Malchus Flosana, and at the same time let him pay for the loss of 200 zuz. We have a principle of Kidei Rishos. So, well, I have news for you. Kasha Zomam overrides Kidei Rishos. Pretty stark Kasha, no?
If it weren't for Eidim Zomam, then we wouldn't be in this case in the first place. The only reason why we're being the high of anybody anything is because of the Hazama. So that's the original cause of everything that we're talking about. It seems.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by Azoma. The word Azoma actually contains within it two elements. Number one is look what you wanted to do to somebody with a false testimony. Azoma means something else, that you're a no good liar.
Right.
And the truth is that in any case of Adam who perjured themselves, you could talk about the violation of Losana.
Yeah.
Even if it wouldn't have a full-fledged hazama, you know, where you force the guy to suffer in some way, but so I'm just not sure what you mean. Say, you want to say it again?
I'm saying that that when the second set of Adim come, that the father brings Adim.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you were talking about Masayim Zuz.
No.
Okay, we're on to the father's aid. Right.
That's, and they're mazim the Eidei Habaal. It's Hazama that generates any of the Chiyuvim that follow. So you're in the realm of Hazama. You can't escape it. That's where you came from in the first place.
Well, wait a minute, Yosef, but what about Bezdin? I mean, I feel for Bezdin, right? My heart goes out for Beis Din. There's certain rules and regulations that limit and straitjacket Beis Din. One of them is called Kedei Rishasim. So what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that Hazama generated this double chiyuv of Misa Malon, but how could Beis Din implement those
chiyuv? Hazama is one punishment. That is Kedei Rishasim. Hazama is one.
Ah, okay. So then you're going back to the Rashba. You're going back to the Rashba, right? The Rashba says there are two mischayvim here within Hazama. But I'm asking about Hilchus implementing punishments, you know, that Beis Din Lamaisa can't, you know, they can't say, well, you know, we're going to take your life and then we're going to take your property as well. That they can't do. That's a din in befall. Befall means in actualizing the punishments of Beis Din. So that's the chiddush of Rabbi Natan, that in such a case, since the Torah says Vasis Volkash Zoma, and we can't throw out this entire entity of Eidus, because then you're going to make it into Eidus Shiyat Yafal Zima, we have to guarantee and be committed to this principle of Kadesh Tiskayim Hazoma Kapi Kol Echa V'Echa. Forget about Kashus, forget about Kim Levi Rabbi, forget about Kadesh Rishosh. All that goes overboard.
Right.
That's what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. Now we look at Daf Lamed Beis of the case. The Gemara has a Havamina to say that if two Edim testify against Ploni that he's Chayav Masai Zuz, and then they become Edim Zomimim, they don't have to pay the 200 Zuz. Why? Because they're Chayav Malkus for Kasha Zomam, and we can't implement two punishments. What happened to Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam says that the Kol Yom Gavar here is going to be the Kasha Zomam, and forget about Kedei Rishosim. Okay.
I feel like for me, Rabbeinu Tam is crystal clear, and the other side, I feel like I have to work more to figure out
right.
How they could say that in
so,
the first
so that's
place.
What that's what we're stuck with now. We're trying to make some sense out of the Havamina that we should give the Eidim Malkus and suspend the Chiyuv Mamon and take Kasha Zomam and throw it overboard, or at least put it in the back burner somewhere. Ulefi mashin ispayer nicha. Now, when he says lefi mashin ispayer, this is something that we had here on this page, and we also had it back on page Shin Sadi Zayin. The b'misa umamon came on the afilu bi ofen she is chayiv mamon. Lo yiftar min amisa, which means that kimle deramini in case of misa mammon means that misa patis mammon, but it doesn't go in the reverse. It's a one-way street, and mammon cannot pater from misa. Is shapir amrinon de beinon shetiskayim hazama kapi kol echad v'ischayim gabi mammon v'gam mammon v'gam misa. In other words, if we go back to Rav Yosef's structure, his paradigm, and we're talking about Rabbeinu Tam here, what we're saying is that by imposing the Chiyuv Mamon, the Eidia Av tried to be mafsa to the Baal Luxuba, so vis-a-vis the Baal, they owe him the Luxuba. We don't have to therefore suspend the Chiyuv Misa that these Eidim owe to the Eidia Baal. Why? Because Mamon does not part of Misa. So we can have, in this case, both. Do you follow? Since the Torah says Vasis Vol Kasha Zoman, we have to be Mekayim even vis-a-vis the Baal, meaning that the Baal has to be lost his Ksuba, so the Eide Av now caused the Baal to lose his Ksuba. Well, I should say to pay his Ksuba, that would be a more accurate way of saying it. Don't get nervous here about the principle of Kim Levi Rabbani, because the principle of Kim Levi Rabbani tells me that Misa pates you from Mamon, but don't be inhibited to impose a Chiv Mamon here based on Rabbeinu Tam's logic of the Inon Shetiskai Mazoma, and you'll get all nervous because you can say, well, what about the Iker Kasha Zomah here, which means we have to put him to death? And the answer is there's no Ptur here. Why? Because there's no inherent power in the Chiv Mamon to knock off the Chiv Misa. It's a one-way street. Misa can knock off Mamon, but not the other way around. Avol b'malkus u'mamon. Now let's get back to the case of Me'idim on Avish Ploni Shuchayv lechaber masayim zuz, and now the Eidim becomes zomim. We should give him malchus for what? For kasha zomim. And at the same time, we should make him pay because, I'm sorry, we should give him malchus for lo sadeh b'yachid shakar, and at the same time, we should make him pay mamon under the law of what? Vasisim lo kasha zomim. And now the pasuk tells me, kasher kidei rishos, you can only punish him for one. So now the Gemara is saying, if yischayv mamon, lo nuchal lechayv malchus. If yischayv mamon, lo nuchal lechayv malchus, because the basic their hands are tied, they can't implement two punishments. Is lomatzin l'meim shi'ischayv mamon mishum to be in this kind? We can't apply the logic of Rabbeinu Tam that compels us to impose a chiyuv mamon in order to fulfill v'asisim lo kasha zomam. Why not? Shareki hechi to be in this kind dinah zomam. Da'ayu chiyuv mamon achinami v'inish this kind dinah arboim yakenu misad lo sana. In other words, we're in a bind over here. The Torah says three things. The first thing the Torah says is kasha zoma. The second thing the Torah says is that if a person violates a lav and there was hasra, blah blah blah, he gets malchus. And the third thing the Torah says is that he can't mete out two punishments. So what are you going to do in this case? Are you going to tell me, well, he's chayv mamon? Well, if you're going to tell me he's chayv mamon, then what are you going to do with the din of arboim yakenu? The Torah says he's got to get malchus for losana, and the Torah says kidei rishos, so we can only impose one punishment. So what gives you the right to say let him pay the 200 zuz and he's off the hook as far as malchus for losana? The Torah says this is a chiyuv to give malchus because arboim yakenu, and we can't give both punishments. You'll tell me, but we have a principle of kidei yischayv. Okay, when does Rabbeinu Tam apply the principle of kidei yischayv? That's with misa and mamon, where you're allowed to take the chiyuv mamon and impose it without undermining, without upsetting and irritating the chiyuv misa. Why? Because there's no such din in ason yeh anosh yonesh that the chiyuv mamon undermines the chiyuv misa. So let's have our cake and eat it too, says Rabbeinu Tam in the context of Rav Yosef and Sanhedrin Daf Yud. And what we're going to do is we're going to make the Eidim of the Av pay the money to the Baal under the law of Kasha Zomam. I will say, but then the Torah says you have to meet out Misa. You know what? I am going to meet out Misa. What about Kimlei the Rabbinei? The answer is there is no Kimlei Rabbinei here. Why? Because the Torah says Kasha Zoma, and he has to pay the moment, and the paying of the moment does not pater him up for the Misa. So says Rabbeinu Tam, that's why Rav Yosef says in Sanhedrin that he gets both, that the Eidei Av HaZomimim will get both. But in the case of Mammon and Malchus, where we said it's not a din of Ptur, it's a din that Bezin's hands are tied and they can't impose two punishments, then we're really stuck in a confrontation here, an irreconcilable confrontation between two psukim in the Torah, Kasha Zomam and Arboim Yakenu. So which one should we choose? And we don't know. So you need some sort of pasuk to tell me that we should choose the Kasha Zomam over the Arboim Yakenu. And that's called the Feir Shrips of Torah, etc., etc. But in the absence of that, we don't know. Maybe we should give Malchus and Patrimon for the moment. I, Rabbeinu Tam, says, you know, we have to be Mekayim. Yeah, you know where Rabbeinu Tam says it. We have to be Mekayim, the din of Kasha Zomam vis-a-vis the Baal, meaning he lost his Ksuba, he has to pay his Ksuba. But that's only because it doesn't undermine the Chi of Misa. And when the Torah says that a person is guilty of Misa, he has to be put to death. And that obligation is on Bezdin to put him to death. Well, that obligation is not undermined, is that you don't have any barrier for them to implement that punishment of Misa by the fact that we impose a Chiyuv Mamon because of Tzarech L'Kayim Kasha Zomam Klapi Echad, meaning Klapi the Baal. Does it make sense? You seem to be very very conservative about it, very inhibitive about it.
Could you say that carrying out Kasha Zomam is not actually a punishment? all the Beis Din has to do is accept the testimony of the first people, and then accept the testimony of the Mezimim.
Right.
Once they accept the testimony of Mezimim, it's a logical consequence of Kasher Zaman.
Why?
Whatever the first.
It's below Kasher Osam. I mean, if it's not a punishment, what is it? It's compensation?
It's
compensation for what? Did anybody lose a dime?
No, but that's the Gemara in Makos asks that.
Yeah.
Then there would be then Bitalta Torah Sazama altogether.
But I would say that Bitalta Torah Sazama means that there is a punishment called Kasher Zama. You are no good, Mick. You're a dastardly, criminal. You gave false testimony. You wanted to force him to pay up 100, so you pay up 100. Let's turn the tables around. I would say that's a penalty. That's an onish. I don't know. You want to say it's what? What's the alternative? If it's not an onish, it's compensation. I don't know if you can say compensation here.
Yeah, but the whole thing of Kasher Zaman is not logical. I think that's clear. It's a gezeira. It's not something that the Beis Din is deciding, should we do this, should we do that. Once you have Kasher Zaman, it's a package. Malchus is not part of Kasher Zaman. Malchus is a different issue because of
Losane.
That's not Kasher Zaman. I keep coming back to this.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. No, I don't agree with you, but I identify with what you're saying. I'm Emo and Elchi Bitzara. I don't want you to think I'm poo-pooing what you say. But I think that the way that the Gemara seems to be presenting it is that just one second, I wanted to say something. That there are principles and there are mandates, so to speak, that are addressed to the Beis Din, and they have to be fulfilled. You can't just simply say, well, there's a package deal called Kasher Zaman, and let's be oblivious and completely ignore the normal principles that limit Beis Din. I mean, maybe you could say more lumpish than that. The Kasher Zaman is a din misuyam in Azoma. But Kimle ben Rabin is not a din misuyam. It's a general din in Beis Din. If you opened up Hilchas Dayanim, Siman Aleph, Sifkatan Aleph, the first thing you'd find is Kedei Rishasso, Kimle ben Rabin. Those are the rules that apply to Beis Din. So this Kasher Zaman can't just override those rules. Kasher Zaman can tell you what punishments should be meted out, but that doesn't mean that Beis Din has the ability always to mete out those punishments. There are other conditions that have to be met. There's one punishment and not two. We don't punish twice for the same crime. So Rav Ashi wanted to say it's like two different avios or two different mischaidim. But Rav Netan is working with a different set of premises. He's going to say that Kasher Zaman is different because in Kasher Zaman, the way we're interpreting it now, you're not really undermining the principle of Kimle ben Rabin. The principle of Kimle ben Rabin of Misa and Mamon is that Misa poteres mi Mamon. If the Torah comes along and says that no, b'chol zot you have to pay the Mamon, that doesn't mean that therefore we have to suspend the Misa, because Mamon doesn't have the power to pater up Misa. Then we get to the case of Malchus and Mamon. Here, what we're going to say is, and we have no choice, is that if you're going to apply the principle of Kasher Zaman and the onus of Mamon, then you'd have to undermine the onus of Malchus. Well, why should you take that path? Why not take the path of Arbon Yakenu and give preference to the Chiv Malchus? Okay, that's what I was able to get out of this paragraph.
Can be carried.
I can't, as we say. More than that, I can't.
But that's because Kasher Zaman is possible to be carried out. Like if it's Edi Grusha B'Chalutza, then you have a situation where Kasher Zaman can't be carried out, and then you have to fall back on
Lo Sana B'Yachei Shaker.
We can't let them just walk out.
Right, they violated the.
So we have to. So
they falsified their testimony.
In place of that, But it was clear that the Hazama came first. There wasn't a consideration in that case. Well, you know, why doesn't the Gemara and Malkus say, well, we would have given the Malkus anyway? Because of Lo Sana. It doesn't say that.
Not 100% sure I follow your logic. I mean, the Gemara is saying that you can't make the Edom into a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza because it says Lo Velo Lazara.
Right.
So now you could ask your question. So what, are these Edom just walk out scot-free? But I'm not sure if that means that Kasha Zomam, you know, replaces Malchus in any sort of sense. Maybe they should both coexist. Again, you may have a problem if let's say we could make the Edom into Chalolim, if not for the need of Lo Velo Lazara, then you might have had a problem here of Kidei Rishos. So I'm not sure exactly how that would work, but let's say if Beis Din has to actively declare these Edom Zomim, if they're calling him as Chalolim, and at the same time turn around and give Malchus, maybe you'd have a conflict. And once again, you would have to determine based on some sort of drasha or yalfusa which of the two we would prefer, because the Torah says kidei rishasa, you cannot impose two punishments. Rabosa, I would like to now, if we can, turn to page Reish Mem Zayin, and I'm pretty sure you have that page, correct? Now we're on the same daf pretty much, which is Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says Malachovel Chavero, and this is basically, at least according to Rashi, the sugya of Ula and Rabbi Yochanan head on. What I mean by head on is that Ula said that both Ula and Rabbi Yochanan agree in principle that you cannot impose both Malchus and Mammon. But whereas Ula prefers to give Mammon, Rabbi Yochanan prefers to give Malchus. And the exception is going to be Chovel Bechavero, where he violates Bal Tosif, and yet instead of getting Malchus, he pays the Mammon, which is a support for Ula's position. So the Gemara says that what should we derive from Chovel B'Chavero? What should we derive from Chovel B'Chavero? So where is that in the Gemara? Just give me a second to get my bearing. It's here on Daf Lamed Beis. It's here on Daf Lamed Beis, but I just want to find the exact. Here's what happens. Ula looks for a source in the Torah from which we could derive the following principle: that when there's an overlap between Mammon and Malchus, we should give Mammon and not Malchus. And his source is going to be Chovel B'Chavero. Nobody disagrees that in the case of Chovel B'Chavero, he pays Chamisha Dvarim, but there is no Malchus. Everybody agrees. The facts on the ground are clear. Ula is going to use that to prove that when there's an overlap of Mammon and Malchus, you should give Mammon. And the Gemara now is going to defend Rabbi Yochanan and try to set up Chovel B'Chavero as the exception to the rule. So I'm asking if everybody, if you have the place here, Malachovel B'Chavero, you will see it. Let's just count lines here. Well, it's actually smack in the middle of the page. The first one of the line is Mamona, if that helps you. No, Mamona Mishalim. Let's count from the top about 12 lines down. Are we on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph?
Yeah.
Okay. So about 12 lines down from the top. Oh, put a period there, because we're going to start with Malachovel B'Chavero.
Ma
Wait, I'm still not sure if we're all in the same place.
I see where you are. Malach of a
exactly. Right. This is a dechia, and the Gemara is pushing off or deflecting Ula. Ula wants to prove his flagstaff is for Mama Mishalim Vimilka Lologi is going to be Chovel Chaver. The Gemara now is going to counter argue and say, Ula, with all the respect, you don't have any proof. How does Gemara refute the proof from Chovel Bechaver? Malach Chovel Bechaver Shekein Chai Bechamisha Dvar. It means that the Torah wanted to be very machmir in the case of Chovel. How do you see the Torah is machmir? Normally, if let's say I didn't watch my shor and it attacked a man, so I have to pay nezik. But in the case where I gave somebody a klap, then I have to pay not only nezik, I have to pay tzar, ripu, shevis, and boshes. So I have to pay five different penalties. So you see that the Torah is very machmir in the case of chovel v'chavero. Hence, the Torah says that in a choice between payment and malchus, we're going to slap him with the more chavardika punishment. Which is the more chavardika punishment? Mammon. Then the Gemara says, wait a minute, I'm not so sure that we can accept that position that mammon is more chavard than malchus. So Gemara says, I can still slug up chovel. Why? Because e mammon lekula, then kein shekein hutar mechlolo bebeznin. That the Torah was dafka mekil in the case of chovel, and I'll prove to you that in chovel we want to be mekil, because hutar mechlolo means that this lav of Ben Yosef has like a balloon that has a puncture in it, the exception to the rule where the Torah was matir. A chavola, hitting somebody, is the case of Bezdin, where a criminal is brought into Bezdin, he's chayav malchus, and we're allowed to beat him up and give him 39 flagellations. It's called Huta Mechlol. But Rabosa, you see clearly that the Gemara is vacillating back and forth in the context of these two punishments of Mammon and Malchus, and we have to compare them one to the other, which is more chomer than the other.
And nobody says Kedei Rishaso and the Chamisha Devarim, that that's five punishments?
Well, no, we have to assess the damage, correct, and the compensation. So, you may have busted my window and my table, and you...
So we should say you can only charge him for one.
Again, the question is how much of a loss did he suffer? What was the damage? You can't say, he destroyed this part of the table, so that's one punishment, that's worth five. And then he destroyed the other part of the table, that's another five. It's one entity of a compensation for Nezek, right? But what we really want to get down to, and that's the brass tacks here, is which is more chomer. We want to give him the more chomer punishment. So Ula says the more chomer punishment is mammon. And Rabbi Yochanan says the more chomer punishment is malchus. So Ula claims, I'll prove it to you from Chovel, because the Torah says in the case of Chovel that he has to pay, and he doesn't get malchus. So you see the Torah is being more machmir, and how do I know the Torah wants to be more machmir in the case of Chavol? We see from Chamisha Dvarim. So my answer is no. Maybe Dafka the Torah wants to be mekil in the case of Chavol, and it lets you get away with paying Mammon without Malkus, because we saw already the Torah was mekil in the case of Huta Mechlolo, Eitzel Beis. So Mitzvah Shem, this is the sugya that we want to pick up tomorrow with page Reish Mem Zayin, so keep that... keep that handy if you can.
Yeah, I'm afraid that I didn't copy Reish Mem Zayin.
Oh, you did not? Do you have a chance to do it now?
I could run it right now. Just that one page, or you had a couple of pages listed there? Oh, this just says Reish Mem Zayin.
So you must have done it.
No, but then I did Shin Kaf Ched and Ted.